The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Westman posted a 20-minute video where he paged through a manifesto, described himself as severely depressed and suicidal. He fantasized about the Sandy Hook massacre and said he loves to see kids get shot. The morning shooting was obviously premeditated because there was a drawing of the floor plans in his notebook. The video also shows Jesus's face as target practice. Westman wrote things on his weapons, such as, "Where is your God? Israel must fall. Nuke India. Suck on this and kill Donald Trump."
The Minneapolis Star Tribune just does another piece of the puzzle as to who the shooter was. The Minneapolis Star Tribune says, according to court records, because there's been some confusion about what the shooter's name was.
Yes.
That Robin Westman's mother applied to change her child's name in 2019. It was at one point Robert Paul Westman.
Correct.
But since she identifies as a female and wants her name to reflect that identification, was underage, it's now Robin Westman.
Going through the writings, particularly going through the videos, as he, the shooter, laid out his weapons and held up each individual parts, what you saw there was a pervasive message of hate. Hate against blacks, hate against Jews, hate against God, and the target, of course, being a Catholic church. But there's also a degree of posturing there about what we're going to investigate it as. I almost find the conclusion that it's a hate crime against Catholics premature, in that we are trying to attach rational motives to a completely irrational act.
I have heard about a whole lot of hate that's being directed at our trans community. Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids.
And all they should be hoping to do is have someone to sit with at lunch or someone to play with on the playground. And they should be waiting to hear an update when they get home. And that is not what these parents at the school experienced today. Sorry, this is a tough one. Having your child killed while they are sitting in a pew for a morning prayer service is not what any parent should have to worry about. And I have felt a mixture of anger and a lot of anger and emotional exhaustion about this today, as I'm sure many of you have, because we have been here so many times, so many times. And yet again, like clockwork, half of the politicians in our country have little more to offer than thoughts and prayers. That is all they are offering. You're going to start seeing narratives. You're already seeing them. They're already out there about how the shooter was trans. You're going to see narratives about how the shooter appeared to be anti-Trump and anti-Semitic and clearly was in the midst of a mental health crisis. There's no question about that. But here's the thing. There are trans people all over the world. There are anti-Semitic people, unfortunately, all over the world, and people filled with plenty of political hate all over the world. And mental health issues are not unique to the United States. And yes, we should do more to address them. But it's also an issue all over the world. But this is the only country where shootings like this one happen this often. The United States not only has the highest rate of gun violence of any country in the world, it's become a leading cause of death for young people and teenagers in this country. That should make everybody angry. Weaponizing the shooter's identity is meant to distract from what matters. That is what they are doing, trying to distract from what matters. Here's what matters. Today's shooter bought the rifle, handgun, and shotgun they used to do what they did today legally. We live in a country with more guns than people, where there are not universal background checks, there are not bans on assault weapons, and it is far too easy to buy a gun. It's the guns, everyone. It's not really a secret.
She regained her composure when she got over to the gun control talking point. So here we have another mass shooting. We have another round of debates We have another round of questions, but with no answers, the cycle of violence, it just continues. It intensifies, in fact. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Another downpour. I don't know what's going on here. We're going to have the greenest campus in the country, but you'll have to put up with a little bit of a wet coat for the next. It'll dry out. Don't worry. I got some free cleaning today. So that's good. That's a positive. My wardrobe and makeup artist, he's on vacation at the moment. So here is, not a time to joke, I guess. I mean, it just fits right in line with what I discussed yesterday on the show, the sickness. Here, I keep referring to Isaiah 1. If I have time later, I'll just take you through the scriptures. It says that we're heavy laden with iniquity, with sin. No one wants to go to the sin question. And, you know, this is on my mind in particular, the questions and answers bit, because in teaching fundamentals of theology this year, the textbook is Mystery of the Ages. And you have Herbert Armstrong going through chapter by chapter, asking all the great questions in life, including questions about why our civilization is the way it is. And is there a real spirit world? The truth about Satan and demons. It's all in there. It's all in this book. You've got to add this to your library. Mystery of the Ages. It's 40-year anniversary. It's next week. We're just 9-10 days away from the day that Herbert Armstrong handed this book out to the sophomore class in Pasadena, California at Ambassador College. And he said, you know what? This is the story of the Bible. You need to have this book to understand the Bible, because the Bible has all the answers. All the answers to life's most important questions. And he meant for the book to be a textbook for the fundamentals of theology class. That lasted all but 2 years. 2 years before the great Laodicean falling away from the truth. And then they destroyed over 100,000 copies that remained of this book. And you know the story, many of you. We came along a few years later and started to print and distribute Mystery of the Ages. And then battled for 6 years in court so that we could continue to distribute, to dispense Mystery of the Ages. What a blessing this book is in a world that's just filled with darkness. And we've been brought out of darkness. I read this passage just this morning. It comes to mind again. I gave a forum on the pursuit of happiness. You don't see much in the way of pursuing happiness or pursuing virtue, as I stressed with the young people today. You've got to be in hot pursuit of character, righteousness, virtue. And of course, they don't even teach that really in the world of religion. Forget about the university. I mean, that's long gone. Our founders understood that without religion and virtue, the American experiment would not work. And you look around at our society and there's no virtue. There's a lot of mentally deranged people. There's a lot of mental illness. There's a lot of demon possession. Certainly this trans shooter, another one, yet another one. Surely demon possessed, mentally disturbed. He admitted it. And of course, hates Trump. You're not going to see the talking head spend much time on that one. What if there was a trans shooter that said he hated Obama, that he wanted to kill Obama? Instead, it comes back to guns. The gun is the problem. No, actually, it's the lack of virtue. It's the character. It's the heart of man that's the problem. 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, God's nature. It says here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, Herbert Armstrong explained about the life of a true Christian, a converted Christian who's come out of this dying, dark world and into this marvelous light. And you've made an about face. You've turned away from the corruption that is in this world, the evil that is in this world. There is a reason there's so much evil. And as I say, even the great preachers of today can't explain why. These horrific acts, they're happening all the time. Why is there so much evil? Well, your Bible says there's a God of this world who happens to be the father of murder and lies. You can't give an explanation as to why these things are happening without understanding the truth about the real spirit world. That's chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, right after you get into the most important question of all. Who and what is God? Where is God? At moments like this, Minneapolis, Nashville, I mean, there's quite a long list of transgenders shooting people, killing people on a mass scale. I mean, that seems like it's very serious. And if you understand, well, even the medical profession just a few years ago, as Jesse Waters notes, labeled it a mental illness. Transgenderism, that is. But we're so far removed from the truth of the Bible that now, I mean, well, you see in the cold open, there's Jacob Frey, who kneeled before St. Floyd's casket 5 years ago. Yeah, that same mayor. He's still in charge of Minneapolis. And he comes out yesterday and he sounds like he's defending the transgender community more than these victims. People gunned down. And then the other crowd that looks at this happening at a mass at a Catholic school and attacking prayer of all things. Prayer's not going to do any good. I mean, the kids at the mass were praying, and look at what happened. So they attack prayer. What a world we're living in. Mr. Hilliker wrote in the morning brief, mass shootings are demonic. What would move a human being to snuff out the lives of many innocent people or as many innocent people as possible? He wrote about it. He talked about it. I love killing children. I love shooting at children. He idolized other mass shooters. It says here, 23-year-old man who identified as a woman barred the doors and shot his way into a Catholic school that was celebrating back to school, morning service filled with children. It's satanic. He went in with a rifle, with a handgun, a shotgun. I mean, it's miraculous that he didn't kill more people. He posted a YouTube video flipping through his journal, which was filled with violent anti-Semitism. Well, there's a lot of Jew hatred in the world. Not all of them are mass murderers, but there certainly is a lot of hatred for Jews. How do you explain that? Where does that come from? The journal included a picture he had drawn of himself looking into the mirror, and a demon looking out. It says a sticker with LGBTQ and transgender flags was overlaid with a gun and the slogan, defend equality. He's just out there defending his community. Twisted and perverted on every level. Satanic, demonic, demon possession. That's what happened yesterday. Call it what it is. Call it what the Bible says it is. Look, Jesus encountered a lot of people in the first century possessed of demons. And here we are in the last century, and Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth and are confined to this earth. It's much worse, in other words. It's much, much worse. They're just having the demons are having a big, demented, violent party on earth. And you see their fingerprints everywhere, don't you? Of course you do. Listen to more from Jesse Waters last night, clip 5.
And some politicians are doing more to protect shooters like Westman than soft targets like schools. In 2023, private schools in Minnesota begged Governor Walz to fund more school safety. They told him it was an urgent and critical need. Minnesota had an $18 billion budget surplus, but the governor didn't do it. Instead, he turned Minnesota into a trans sanctuary. And his attorney general, Keith Ellison, sued Trump so they can keep castrating little boys. Tim Walz failed. Our leaders keep failing us.
A transgender sanctuary and medically supervised castration of little boys. What are we talking about here? You know, there were a lot of people that praised Jesse for his monologue last night. Hard hitting. I admit it was good. I liked it. But then you step back and you think, is this really the debate? Are you serious? The talking heads are going back and forth over, you know, whether we should protect schools or give sanctuary to transgenders. I mean, just a transgender lifestyle itself shows how sick we are as a society. What would George Washington and Abigail Adams and Thomas Jefferson think of where we are today? And what's in the debate? What we're debating? The questions we're asking? Here's a little bit more from Jesse Waters last night, clip 2.
The FBI is investigating this as an act of domestic terror and a hate crime targeting Catholics. But police say they don't know anything.
We don't have a motive at this time. Obviously, we're open to any possibilities at all, but we don't have a motive.
The media says the motive doesn't matter. It's the gun's fault.
I think it's either like you have to be honest and say what will actually work, which is what nobody wants to hear, which is that there are just simply way too many firearms and they're way too accessible. And even if
they're too powerful.
And they're too powerful. Even handguns, too.
So a suicidal transgender who hates Trump's Christians and Jews shoots up kids at a Catholic school, and the media wants to take away your handgun. So how are we supposed to protect ourselves from trans shooters? The media is bad at pattern recognition. We aren't. Just 2 years ago, another trans 20-something walked into a Christian school in Nashville with a rifle and shot 3 kids and 3 adults. They buried the manifesto and locked down the case. We've seen trans shootings in Colorado and in Maryland. They even shot up an ICE facility in Texas. And it seems like half of Antifa's trans. A couple of they-thems just got popped for firebombing Teslas. The mayor of Minneapolis says you can't say that.
Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids.
Imagine that, a mayor of Minneapolis talking about after a transgender goes into a school, shoots up the place, murders 2 children, injures 14, 15, 16 others, I think it is, and then shoots himself, commits suicide there at the end. And this leader of a city, a big city in the United States, comes out and says, hey, one of the lessons here is we've got to love the transgenders. We've got to love the lifestyle. We've got to welcome them to Minneapolis. We've got to build a sanctuary for these mentally ill people. And Mr. Hilliker says, the media reports downplayed this man's transgenderism. If they reported it, they focused on how that detail stirred hateful online posts toward transgenders. The Minneapolis mayor immediately decried the trans community being under attack. It says, but transgenderism is relevant to this tragedy, as it was in the 2023 Nashville shooting, the 2022 Colorado Springs shooting, and others. It's a demonic ideology. And they're targeting people that would dare criticize their lifestyle. That's what's happening. We'll see how long it takes for law enforcement to get to a motive, to find the motive. Play one more clip from Jesse Waters last night, number three.
We love the American people, especially American children. And if they're troubled and believe they're somehow a girl trapped in a boy's body, we want to get them help. We don't want to give them hormones and operate on them. Society shouldn't be trying to produce more trans kids. We shouldn't be encouraging an emotional disorder or whatever this is. And doctors should stop profiting from it. Great Britain ended child sex change surgeries. They said it's barbaric, and they're right. And politicians should stop elevating the trans issue like it's the civil rights struggle of the 21st century. You see it all over Minneapolis.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for our trans community.
For being a safe haven for transgender individuals.
We have sued them for gender-affirming care. Yes, we are not going to scapegoat our transgender community.
When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them.
That it's even in the debate, as I say, says all that you need to know about where we are as a society. As I said earlier this week, you don't want to be lulled into a false sense of security, because look around Britain, look around the United States. I mean, in some ways, the radical left commentators are right about the uniqueness of this happening, in particular in the United States. And then the knife attacks going on in Britain. What is wrong with us? And I can remember back in the day, Mr. Armstrong, he would talk about the paradox of our time, all of these sophisticated advancements in technology and yet appalling evils to go with it. And that's what we're seeing in the Redefining Family booklet. That's a booklet that we have at our website, or that we offer freely if you want to call our operators today. It says, we need to recognize how toxic and destructive sin is. Sin, which is breaking God's law, cuts a person off from God and his positive influence. It cuts you off from the virtues of God. It cuts you off from happiness and peace and joy. Sin destroys. And we have so many examples we could point to. I was saying this morning in the forum, you know, all those Laodicean ministers that came along in the late 80s, early 90s, and just destroyed the work of the Worldwide Church of God, and destroyed remaining copies of Mystery of the Ages, and shut down Ambassador College in 1997, and shut down the World Tomorrow program. And then, you know, they sell off all the goods, they collect the proceeds for themselves, they write their tell-all books, and then they try to tell their audience, which wasn't very big, by the way, they try to tell their audience that Herbert Armstrong was the tyrant. Living under him, that was horrible. People suffered. No, actually, it was living under Tkachism that brought a lot of suffering and anguish to church people, to the brethren, to families, to marriages. It was great living under Mr. Armstrong's family leadership, fatherly leadership, God-inspired leadership. These corrupt, lawless ministers come along and lie their way to totally destroying that church. And then they want to revise the history to make Mr. Armstrong out to be the villain. And of course, to make themselves look like angels of light. That's the way the devil works. We need to see how destructive sin is. And it's also a very slippery slope. Sin spreads like cancer. Sin spreads like leaven, it says in the Bible. Sin cuts us off from God. In Redefining Family, it says, sexual sins in particular pervert wholesome thoughts and feelings. They undermine respect and honor for the opposite sex. and appreciation for the family as God created it. And they tend to feed on themselves, creating addictive cravings for even greater perversions. And so here's where we are in 2025. We've got one trans shooting after another. And then you've got, you know, people going after the guns, as you would expect. How interesting, yesterday, as I was telling our news gatherers this morning, that at the same time you've got all of this in the headlines, you know, you've got the shakeup at the CDC, Donald Trump firing some lady, I forget her name, but then others resigning in protest. And then these same talking heads get on, and in some cases, they're trying to weave together the two stories. What, in the mass shooting, over here, it's the guns. That's the villain. That's the problem. And then, you know, at the CDC, I mean, people are getting fired. Look, they're concerned about the health, the physical health of 330 million Americans. They're tackling important issues. They want to make sure that everyone gets the shot, the vax, the whatever, the drug. One guy talked about how because of guns, the fact that they're everywhere in the U.S., and then because there's those like RFK that say there should be more restrictions on vaccines, that, well, the school's going to become the one place that's the least safe in the United States. Right. Shoot everyone with the vaccine and then take away all the guns, and that'll solve all the problems of the United States. That'll solve America's problems. They have no answers because they won't turn to the Bible. They won't turn to God's word. They won't submit to the Ten Commandments and God's authority in their lives. These sins tend to feed on themselves, creating addictive cravings. We certainly see a lot of that in our world today. Listen to this again from Jesse Waters last night, clip 4.
Just a few years ago, the psychiatric community classified transgenderism as a mental illness. Then doctors went woke and removed it as a condition, and now millions of young Americans are identifying themselves as trans and getting high fives. When someone has an illness, we should treat it instead of affirm it. We don't celebrate schizophrenia. We don't encourage depression.
So good. A good monologue. But are we really talking about this? I mean, how much lower can we go as a society? In the Redefining Family booklet, it says society has undergone a radical shift. It's moved from stigmatizing homosexuality. You know, and this booklet was written quite a few years ago when the big debate was homosexual marriage. I mean, that today, that kind of a debate almost seems like just a casual conversation on the sidewalk somewhere. No big deal. We've gone from stigmatizing homosexuality to stigmatizing those who oppose it. And now it's the same with the trans community. Just a few years ago, the medical community, you know, like the people, the top officials at the CDC, could that be true, that they would actually look at this as a mental illness? And why not now today? You listen to the talking heads after the shakeup last night, and I mean, you would think that there's like a 100,000 Tony Faucis at the CDC that are to be revered, that are to be worshipped. It brought back memories, I have to say, of the COVID year, 2020. That was like a nightmare for our nations. Look at what we did to ourselves. Look at how we worship drugs. This is the reaction, by the way. You guys can bump ahead to that other montage, I think 6 or 7, about the... Here are the talking heads reacting to Donald Trump firing the CDC gal because she can't, coexist, I guess, with RFK. Go ahead and play that.
Donald Trump's agenda is to undermine Donald Trump's... One of his greatest achievements with Operation Warp Speed. And now people are getting fired for agreeing with the president?
I don't get it. That's like, That's chaos.
This is all a little bit confusing.
Well, a lot of chaos, as I think Mika said. The secretary has said there will be a forthcoming report on the causes of autism. And as you and I know, the secretary has embraced the theory, which has been discredited, that autism is caused by vaccines. Oh, we're all waiting for that report. It's being written by someone who has also embraced the vaccine autism theory. And so who knows what is coming next?
Actually, what happened with the development of the COVID vaccine was in fact a great medical breakthrough, and Operation Warp Speed, one of the most successful government operations in quite some time. And yet he says it, and then you have RFK Jr., who immediately starts firing people who actually would agree with that statement. Why? What's the loyalty to RFK Jr.?
The appointment of RFK Jr. says a lot more than any of the words Donald Trump utters about the questions of the vaccine, because RFK Jr. is running roughshod. He is turning out to be the worst nightmare people who feared what would happen if he took over HHS.
And let me tell you, whatever Donald Trump thinks he may be getting from RFK, it's not worth it.
Okay, so it's back to school season. It's also about to be flu season, and a new COVID-19 variant is sweeping across the United States. So it's one of a time to get this news today, and a lot of it is still developing. But here's the headline from the Washington Post. CDC director ousted after RFK Jr. pushed her to change vaccine policy. Tonight, lawyers representing Director Menares are pushing back on these reports, saying that she has neither resigned nor yet has been fired, and that she will not go quietly. Tonight, at least four other top CDC officials have resigned in what appears to be a coordinated response to all of this. I should note that the CDC director is not some holdover from the Biden administration. She's not a deep stater, as they call them. This was Donald Trump's handpicked choice to lead the CDC. She was confirmed by the Senate less than a month ago. Since that time, we have seen a deadly shooting at CDC headquarters by an anti-vaccine extremist. We've seen hundreds of current and former CDC staff members sign an open letter urging Secretary Kennedy to stop spreading vaccine misinformation. But the Trump administration's response to all of that is not to get rid of RFK Jr., that if only, is to try and get rid of the people standing up to him, even the ones Trump himself appointed.
The big question at one of America's most vital public health institutions this morning, who's in charge?
One of the best things that this agency can do, whether it be HHS or CDC, can give some clarity to the American people on health issues, and this just confuses and muddies the water.
I think what this really underscores to me is how loyalty is prized over expertise in Trump 1, Trump 2 compared to Trump 1.
They sure hate Bobby Kennedy, who wants more restrictions on vaccines. He wants to study what's the cause of autism. He wants America to be healthy. He and Pete Hegseth, they recently did this 10-minute challenge, and then they challenged Americans to do the same. 100 push-ups and 50 pull-ups. See if you can do it in 10 minutes. There's people in the Navy SEALs and in the military that can do it in 2 or 3 minutes. It's awesome. And this was the New York Times reaction to it the other day. These are the elites. They know about your health. Listen, there are important people heading up the CDC. And I guess we should ask, after the shakeup, who's leading it and how many lives will be lost because we don't have so-and-so heading up the CDC because of Bobby Kennedy? Here's the New York Times on the 10-minute challenge. 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups in under 10 minutes. What could go wrong? Okay, here we go. Bobby Kennedy says it. It must be unhealthy. It must be wrong. It must be dangerous. Oh, yes, the New York Times. I mean, the people writing this, I'm sure they were highly educated before they got the job at the New York Times. Fitness experts caution against jumping into a difficult routine suggested by Bobby Kennedy and Pete Hegseth. Uh-oh. And then you read it. They go through some of these CrossFit workouts and the whole tone. I mean, okay, so you don't just jump into something, you ease into it, but You know, that's the point of the challenge. If I were to do it, it'd probably take me 4 hours. But then if you do it more and more and more, you can maybe get it down to 20 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And if you're doing it in 10 minutes, I mean, you're in pretty good shape. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's common sense. But the elites, you see, they've always, I mean, if there's a drug, if there's a talking point on the agenda, if you get rid of the gun, everything's solved, you see. Nothing about human nature. Nothing. And that's the problem here. This is Satan's world. This world is headed up by a liar and a murderer. That's the problem. You can see it in John 8 and verse 44. The world is ruled by an evil murderer dictator. How about that? I'm not going to get that on MS Now and Then. You won't get nothing about that, or anything about that, I should say. What we're seeing all around, whether in Britain and America, of course, it's all over the world. I mean, you've got Putin just unleashed this barrage, this rampage against Ukraine. 2 seconds ago, we were told that we're on the cusp of peace. We're about to solve it. For Putin, man, it's just bombs away. He's targeting Kiev. We're seeing the mind of Satan the devil on full display every day. You look at the notes, you look at the videos, the photos of this transgender shooter, and you see a demonic mindset. You see Satan the devil. You find proof that there is a real spirit world. And they, like my father wrote in America Under Attack, I mean, they take advantage of minds that are empty. If I can just find it. This is something we had at the Trumpet in August 2022. These, it's talking about mass shootings. And we wrote, they're happening because our children's minds are under attack. That's the problem here. The minds of our young people are being attacked. It says here, in America Under Attack, my father, so this is one of my articles, he explains that the Bible prophesies a war in heaven, and, well, he talks about the devil and his demon army being cast down, confined to this earth. It says, this is why mass shootings have been increasing for the past 35 years. Demons prey on the fatherless. You can go back, by the way, and just put together a timeline of mass shootings. I mean, I guess Columbine was maybe one of the first ones that just shocked the nation. Wasn't that back in the 1990s, I believe? I mean, you go back to before 1986, and it was unheard of. But since that time, since the death of Herbert Armstrong, since Satan and his demons were cast down to this earth, I mean, look at what has happened to our nations. Look at the topics we're debating, as I say. And then consider how many mass shootings there are carried out by these mentally deranged, demonic, demon-inspired individuals that are getting these surgeries, castrations, whatever it might could be, all these hormone blockers. I mean, this is a mental illness. That's putting it nicely. Demons prey on empty minds. You see, if you're not actively, diligently pursuing virtue, pursuing happiness, I mean, that language is in the Declaration of Independence. And you read that today and you think, well, the pursuit of happiness, that's fun. Yeah, pursue pleasure and I'll be happy. No, actually, the founders meant to pursue the way to happiness. And how do you obtain true happiness? Well, by seeking after the virtues of God. That's how. Seeking after the commandments of God. And you've got to be diligent about it. And the scriptures bring this out. That passage I just covered. I can actually go back to it. 2 Peter 1. The divine nature, I think I read, verse 4. partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So much lust, so much corruption. But then look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And then it goes on, add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. I mean, where is there temperance in our nations today, and patience, and virtue, and godly knowledge, and faith? Faith toward God, trust in God. You don't see much of that, and that's why there's so much evil. When you don't have anyone diligently pursuing God's way of life, well, you're going to have a lot of empty minds, and that's easy prey for the devil. The devil is this world's ruler. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Here in Peter, just go to 1 Peter, look at chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but you, God speaking to his family, his people, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. Or in the margin, in the King James, it says the virtues. You should be showing this. You should be putting this on. You should be training your children this way. Instead, you got the transgender shooter. His mom's there trying to help him get his name changed so that he can be known as a she. I mean, the family has broken. And that's why our society's broke. We have no solid foundation. We don't have the family foundation underpinning our society. And that's why these bizarre, deranged, demonic acts are happening all over the place. Well, I mean, Psaki said there that even at the CDC there was a shooting. I don't even remember that one. Shootings at, you know, military bases and in Catholic schools and movie theaters. What is happening? What's happening is that the world, as I say, is being ruled by an evil murderer and a liar. One that, even as these murderous acts are carried out, that can convince quite a few people that I think this is a great time to really get behind a movement and enter into a golden age. In fact, it's compared to Sodom and Gomorrah by Jesus Christ. It's compared to the times before the flood of Noah's day. Look at how many people in Noah's day, just to take that example, read that account in Genesis 6. It says the earth was filled with violence. The hearts of men were on evil continually. And, you know, you would have thought, I mean, Noah is this righteous man of God. And in the end, I mean, he was preaching. He was warning. He was building this ark. The ark itself was a warning witness to that society. And you mean after 100 years of God's work, there were nobody tried to get in and to be protected from the flood? Until it was too late? Nobody, like 70 years into the project, there weren't like 150 people, let's say, and they came up to Noah and they said, you know what, I think you're right. I think you're a man of God. I think you're a prophet. You think God would have just shut the door on those people? He probably would have said to Noah, hey, build it a little bit bigger. If people are willing to turn to repentance and faith in God, then I'll save them. I'll protect them. But no one did. There were probably those in his own family that were reluctant. 8 people, after 100 years of God mercifully, patiently, lovingly warning that society, telling that society, your sins are going to destroy you. These universal sins are going to lead to universal destruction. That's the lesson of the flood. That's the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's trying to show us that we're doing this to ourselves. We have ourselves to blame. We had another article. This is back in 2013, an older one. The real practical solution to gun violence, to all violence. There is one, I should say, but we continue to ignore it. It says, if America really wants to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm, we need a totally different debate. If we're honest with ourselves, we should realize that the cause of violence goes far deeper than whether people should be able to own guns or what types of guns they should be. The real debate shouldn't be how many bullets we put into a clip, but what we put into our minds. What are we feeding our minds with? Why? I read a story the other day. I think I might have read this in class, but just how wildly popular these horror movies are. It used to just have a tiny, tiny sliver of the overall movie audience. Not so much anymore. I mean, we love demonic activity as it's portrayed on the silver screen. And with technology, I mean, it's as real looking as ever. And it comes from what mind? Does it come from God's mind? And if not, if it comes from Satan's mind or a demon's mind, why are we feeding on it? Why are we pouring it into our minds or into the minds of our children? Yeah, here's a transgender individual who wanted to commit suicide, who hated life, he hated Jews, he hated Trump, and yeah, I guess the mom's just got guns lying all over the house. No problemo. That's the way it is in America. Is this a golden age, morally speaking? I mean, is this a golden age for American morals? Something is dreadfully wrong with our religion, with our education, with our family living. We're not diligently pursuing virtue. We're not in pursuit of the way to happiness. Far from it. We're living in a world that is filled with violence. A world that's full of evil. And God wants to show us the way out. He wants to show us the way to peace and safety. He wants to show us the way to happiness. And if you're willing to turn, to repent, to cry out to God for deliverance, for help, God will be there to provide it. We're going to continue with our ongoing series of the United States and Britain in prophecy, as I've been saying. I mean, we need the sure word of Bible prophecy. And that's what you're getting here in this documentary series that we've been running. We'll conclude today's show with one more segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
God made two major promises to Abraham, the scepter promise of a spiritual savior and the birthright promise of national greatness. They went to Abraham's son Isaac and to Isaac's son Jacob. But then the promises split. The promise of a savior went to Jacob's son Judah. The promise of national greatness went to his son Joseph. Centuries later, Abraham's descendants did form a nation. But then that nation split. How could those promises still be kept? The Bible shows a way forward. The nation of Israel split from the nation of Judah, but the promise of a savior could still be fulfilled in Judah, and the promise of national greatness could still be fulfilled in Israel, led by Ephraim and Manasseh. But there is another problem. The nation of Israel was destroyed. The Bible itself records that Israel was conquered. 1 Kings 14 says that Israel would be scattered. Most Bible students apply this to the scattering of the Jews, but it's not referring to the Jews. 2 Kings 17 specifically states that Judah, the Jews, remained. But Israel was conquered. Starting in 721 BC, the Assyrian Empire conquered Israel. The Assyrians removed the people of Israel from their land and carried them away as captives. The nation of Israel was destroyed, its king was dethroned, and its people were removed. The Assyrians even transported in different groups of people to take over the land that had belonged to Israel. Israel was lost. The people who had been the nation of Israel were now captives, people without their own identity, who were now slaves, doing what their masters said, migrating where their masters went. The Bible history says that Israel lost its nation, its ruler, its land, its language, its religion, its identity, and its name. The promise of national greatness was supposed to be given to descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh. Now they weren't even a nation at all. What about the nation of Judah? It was a separate nation after all. And the Bible says that when Assyria destroyed the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah survived. God had promised that descendants of David would always rule over Israel. David's throne still existed in Jerusalem, and it still ruled over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. David's direct descendant still ruled the tribe of Judah, as well as those from the tribes of Benjamin and Levi, who joined with Judah. But there is another problem. The king of Judah was also destroyed. About 130 years after Assyria conquered Israel, Babylon conquered Judah. This seems to be a disaster for those promises made by the God of the Bible. But right in the middle of this national destruction is a strange and dramatic commission. And this mission is about those promises. It was committed to the prophet Jeremiah. I have set you this day over the nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This mission was very specifically yet very mysteriously worded. What was Jeremiah being ordered to do? Jeremiah was a young Jewish man living in the nation of Judah. He warned the nation and King Zedekiah that Judah was about to be conquered, and he saw the disaster firsthand. He was in Jerusalem when Babylonian forces besieged it and eventually overpowered it. In the bloody aftermath, the Babylonians executed all of the sons of King Zedekiah. They also executed all of the nobles of Judah. Then they put out Zedekiah's eyes and took him to Babylon, where he died. That was the end of the kingdom of Judah. That was the end of David's throne. A dynasty that the Bible said would last forever. Or so it appears. The Bible itself records in detail that the nation of Israel and then the nation of Judah were destroyed. The people of Israel were taken captive to Assyria. The people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon. All the heirs of the last king of Judah were executed. In the aftermath of these disasters, Jeremiah was in anguish, not only for his people who had been killed or enslaved, or for the fall of his nation, but for God's promises. Jeremiah believed in God's promises, and he believed in God's commission for him. God had set him over nations and kingdoms. Jeremiah had warned one nation to submit to its Babylonian conquerors, warned it that God would pluck up, break down, and overthrow its throne. The destroyed capital city all around him was proof of that. But what about the last part of his commission? What was he supposed to build and to plant, and how?